Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is February the 21st, and I'm with Scott Patty for a Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin.
Good afternoon.
A good day.
It is. It was sunny yesterday, and like, I didn't have to wear a really big coat.
You didn't, but I took a walk yesterday afternoon in a sweatshirt.
For those that don't know, Scott is consistently cold. He's probably cold right now.
My feet are cold.
I know.
See? I told the membership class on Sunday, the room we were in yesterday for the membership, the new members class was cold. And so we were on cold. And I told them, you know, if they ever watch me on Sunday, if they ever see me before I get up to preach, if I'm sitting next to my wife and we're holding hands, you could think, oh, that's sweet. But really what's happening is my wife's hands are warmer than mine. And she's warming my hands up before I get up to preach.
I think too, you said, like, if I've got my hands in my pockets on stage and you think, oh, he's being so casual, that's cool.
Just keeping my hands warm.
That's cool if you want to think that.
In fact, Beth wasn't sitting next to me Sunday. She sat with somebody else on Sunday, and I didn't have anybody to warm my hands up.
You know, it's funny because I didn't think that, but in the membership class I thought, and I was sitting behind you, I was like, I ain't holding your hand.
That's right. But I did get up Sunday morning to preach, and it was so cold. I was freezing. Anyway, why are we on that? Oh, because yesterday. Yes, it was a warm day yesterday, but I did have to wear a sweatshirt to take a walk in the afternoon.
Well, okay. Well, let's talk about Sunday.
Let's do it.
We were in John 8.
Yeah.
Whoo, Scott.
Yeah,
That was a tough text.
Yeah, long and challenging.
And I think what made it weighty is maybe not, what is he trying to say? It's because how blunt Jesus is.
Yeah, he said it, didn't he? He put it out there.
So give us a little bit of context, what the sermon was about.
Yeah, one more time, John 7 and 8, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's also called, it's a festival, celebration, a week, 8 days or so, long celebration in Jerusalem, and you know, it's a pilgrimage, one of the celebrations of the year for the Jewish people, and they come to Jerusalem, and they're giving thanks to God for the past Exodus, deliverance, provision in the wilderness, you know, 1,200 years earlier, then they're also thanking God for the current harvest, and the rains, and they're praying. So it's a big Thanksgiving remembrance, celebration, renewal time. Jesus enters the celebration midpoint. Mm-hmm. John tells us in John chapter 7, he enters midpoint, and then he starts interacting.
Yeah,
and he starts teaching in the temple, and it's controversy the whole time. He says something, they push back. He says something, they push back. He calls God his Father, they push back. And by the time we get to the end of chapter 8, where we were on Sunday, the conflict is really heightened.
Yeah,
and there's some sharp words, and they are rejecting Jesus, and they are seeking to kill him, and Jesus knows that.
Yeah,
and he is saying, you know, he actually said, "Your father is the devil."
Yeah,
because the devil's a murderer, and you're trying to kill me. They keep bringing up Abraham. Our father's Abraham. Our father's Abraham, and you can tell it's a mechanism to say, the kind of freedom you're talking about, we don't need.
Yeah,
because our father's Abraham. We are where we need to be. We are the descendants of Abraham. We're the chosen people.
Yeah.
And they're resting on that to make them right with God. They don't need Christ. And that's the trajectory of John chapter 8. Until we get to the end, and Jesus says, in this discussion of Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. And what he is saying is that he is the eternal existent one, eternally existent one, who is greater than Abraham. And the one that for Abraham is the point. Abraham, we went through the whole thing. Yeah. People need to listen to the sermon. I don't have time here to rehash the history, but starting with Abraham, God made a promise, and the promise was of a son, and the son promise goes all the way through the Old Testament, through Abraham, through David, through the prophets. And finally, the son comes. His name is Jesus. And so Jesus is trying to tell these people, I am the one that Abraham longed for and looked for and was promised.
Yeah.
I am the Son of God. I am the Savior. Everything John says about Jesus being the Savior, Jesus in John 8 is saying, I am that. And they still reject him.
Yeah.
So that's why it's a tough
passage. And that statement is where it leads them saying, okay, now we're setting, the cross is coming.
That's right.
The plan begins to unfold because they try to even kill him in this point.
That's right. They're going to stone him right there, and he slips away, leaves the temple because he's in charge of his own timing. He's sovereign. But absolutely, you can tell where this is going. Yeah. Eventually it does. It goes to the cross. And then just one more thing, and then you can ask. We can do some amplify, clarify, clarify, amplify, apply questions. But one more thing is that Jesus, we know that they left planning a cross. What they didn't know was that the cross was God's plan.
Yeah.
To atone for their sins.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That some of the people who that day wanted to kill Jesus could be not long after in Jerusalem at the preaching of the apostles.
Yeah.
At Pentecost, repenting and coming to faith in Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus died for their sins. Powerful.
Yeah, Beautiful. It is. It's powerful. Yeah, yeah. And even very symbolic, you were talking about it at the end of the sermon of how Jesus is being pushed out. He's walking out of the temple.
Yeah.
So symbolic of where that was supposed to be the place of truth and to see the promised one coming and he's now stepping out of the temple.
Yeah, he left and they wanted to kill him and he left.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a couple of questions. The first one that I want to ask is, you know, a lot of times when you're preparing a sermon, you're not able to touch on everything. Mm-hmm. So as you think about the Jewish people and kind of what they were missing, and is there anything that you feel like that you weren't able to really talk too much about?
Yeah.
Talked about a lot, but is there anything else that you weren't able to
talk about? Well, I think one thing, looking back on the sermon, you know, here on Monday morning quarterbacking, one of the things that could have come out a little stronger that I'd like to bring out here is that the purpose of God giving his grace to us is, yes, to save us, but it is also for us then to give that grace, to be a blessing, to give the gospel. So let me put it in context.
Yeah.
Abraham, and through Abraham, Israel, that they are the chosen ones. They're chosen by God, a gift of grace, not based on themselves. God actually said that in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
I didn't set my love on you because you were great. I set my love on you because I set my love on you.
Yeah.
It's grace.
Yeah.
The purpose of that was so that they would have a relationship with God, but also because it was through them that God was going to get his grace to the nations.
Yeah.
And that's Jesus. Yeah. So the whole choosing of Abraham, the whole choosing of the nation was to bring about from them the Son of God, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary. You know, her people are the Jewish people. And so the principle there being that God extends his grace and to us, but also through us.
Right.
And if we stop at the to us and don't go on to the through us, then we're not really understanding what the purpose of God's grace is.
Yeah.
Take the church. I mean, we could say God has shown his grace to us. He's grafted us into his people by faith in Jesus Christ. And then we could say, oh, that's wonderful. We got it. We're good. We're safe. We're secure.
Yeah.
But that's not the way God has it designed. Until his son comes back, what's supposed to happen is he grafts us in to his kingdom people by grace through faith in Christ. And that grace is to us. It's also to go through us.
That's good.
Because we've got the Great Commission.
Yeah.
We've got the call to be salt and light in the world.
Yeah.
I think about Paul in 2 Corinthians 4. Grace is to extend to more and more people, so thanksgiving might increase, that God might get the glory.
Yeah.
And that's a great purpose statement for the church.
Right.
That through us, grace would extend to more and more people.
Mm-hmm.
Not the grace of us, the grace of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To more and more people, that thanksgiving might increase to the glory of God. So that's a point that I think I would bring out, because as I look at John 8, it's clear that the religious people of Jesus' day, the people he's talking to, maybe a mixture of Jewish observing Jewish people as well as religious leaders, weren't thinking at that moment
that the grace was to go through,
was to go through them, and that the grace of God was standing in front of them in the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I love that it's not just to go to us, but through us.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there can just, we could talk all day long about that. The other question that I wanted to talk about, and it's something that we revisit a lot in these podcasts, is to ask the question, how can this text shape us into a healthy congregation?
Yeah.
I like that, Scott, because I think we sometimes, again, we want to talk about our individual discipleship, extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
But we're together. We're a collective congregation. Mm-hmm. So as you think about the sermon on Sunday coming from this text, what is helpful to shape us as a healthy congregation?
Okay. Well, I'll give you two. And the first one, I'll just reiterate from what we just said.
Yeah.
A healthy congregation understands that we have been brought in to God, into God's plan, into God's salvation, into the life of God by grace. So it's the grace has been extended to us, and that we then, in obedience to the Great Commission of Jesus, we are to extend the grace to others. So it shapes us as a congregation to say, it doesn't stop here.
Yeah.
We're to take it. I think one more thing I would say is that it's clear that as Jesus has this dialogue, discussion, argument, really, with the people of his day over Abraham, somehow they were missing the point of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
They were missing the true son of Abraham. They were missing Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that last line of his, when he stands there and looks at them after all this argument and they're face to face, and he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Mm-hmm.
And if I could just put that in like modern day summary, distill it down to a one-liner, it's this: Jesus is the point.
Yeah.
And so it shapes us as a congregation to say, let's don't ever forget that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the point.
Yeah.
Of everything that we do, all of our activity, all of the good things, you know, that we get to be in an environment where we can preach the gospel and we can disciple and we can fellowship and we can reach out, and we're free to do that. And then we start to think, oh, it's about our thing. It's about our church. It's about this or that. And we can get lost in a lot of religious stuff if we're not careful, if we remove the fact that Jesus Christ is the point. In fact, just to reiterate that one more way, you go all the way almost to the last chapter of John, and he actually tells you what the whole purpose is. He says, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that we do, talk about, trust in, pursue, that does not have that at the core, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing in him we have life. If that's not at the core, then it's just not something we should be about as a local congregation.
That's good. Yeah, I like that. And I think, too, it helps us understand. I think there's so many implications, right, to make sure if he is the core, if he's the starting point, if he is the point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many attributes that would flow out of that as a congregation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
As I look at this text, the one thing you kept coming back to on Sunday was how prideful the religious leaders were.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think if Jesus is the core and the center, there's not much room for pride.
No room for pride.
I mean, it's humble.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you come in Sunday morning and you leave just thankful that you have an opportunity to be grafted in.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there is no pride.
None.
And so you walk out in the world humble. And so I just think it creates a humble congregation.
Yeah.
And there's so much more we could say, but
that's
that's the point. And I think, too, it's helpful for me as it, being a part of a church, to understand that everything I do, not only is he the point, but that should be the main thing we discuss and talk about more and more and more.
And one more little thing is this. I would be careful because I don't really have anybody in mind when I say this. I just know human nature, okay?
Yeah.
That even when I say the point is Jesus, the point is Jesus Christ, there is a way that could even slip into, oh, isn't that cool? It's just me and Jesus.
Yeah, right.
the kind of my own personal Jesus.
Yeah.
So that there is, after that, then there's no room. There's no need for doctrine. Mm-hmm. There's no need for obedience.
Right.
There's no need for mission, which we would say, okay, that is human nature at work again.
Right.
Screwing things up.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, wait a minute. To say Jesus Christ is the point still means that our doctrine must be clear, biblical, or else we're focused on the wrong Jesus, the one of our imagination.
Right.
It still means that we obey him.
Right.
Because he says, if you abide in my word, if you love me, you will obey me.
Yeah.
It still means that we carry out a mission in the world.
Yeah.
Because he's the one that said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you.
Right.
Here's the commission, that you go make disciples of all the nations. So to say Jesus is the center doesn't mean that it's just a, oh, isn't it sweet, we get to be with Jesus.
Right.
It's Jesus is our Savior. He's the Son of God. Mm-hmm. And we got to keep the doctrine of Jesus straight. We got to keep our love for Jesus pure. We got to keep our obedience to Jesus strong. We got to be in the mission of Jesus in the world. So it does call for other things, but they've got to come out of that center, that core of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Right. Which would go to the other way. It's not to say there's not really important issues in our world.
That's right.
But it comes from the core of Jesus. It starts from Jesus.
It starts from the truth of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And then we work out into the way we live faithfully in this world and love each other and be truthful and pure and all sorts of things.
Great. Well, that's you can turn all of what we just said into a prayer request for our congregation and us even as individuals, that we would be humble, that Jesus would be the center and the core, and that we'd fight to keep it the center.
That's right.
And the core. Well, great sermon from John chapter 8, and we'll be in John again this Sunday.
That's right. Thanks.